Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We usually think of our morals as universal. Certainly, plenty of philosophies in most religions say that, a set of right actions and guidelines that make us uniquely human, right? But in his latest book, Ian Morris, who's a professor of classics at Stanford University, argues that like any other part of us, morals evolve, just like height or brain size. Throughout history, how you live, in other words, determines what you know to be right. Today, Morris argues, the freedoms we cherish and our belief in equal rights for all are really just byproducts of living in a fossil fuel economy. Ian Morris's latest book is Foragers, Farmers, and Fossil Fuels, How Human Values Evolve. And he told me that one of the marvels of the fossil fuel age is just how very safe it is.
When you compare modern societies, like say, you know, look at the world in the 20th century, 100 to 200 million people die violently in the 20th century. That's a mind-boggling number. And yet, the other side of the story is that somewhere around 10 billion people lived during the 20th century. So this is a rate of violent death about 1 to 2%. If you go back to the Stone Age, people who lived in the Stone Age are dealing with rates of violent death in the 10 to 20% range. So they're 10 times more likely to die violently than we are today. In a sense, you know, we're no less into killing each other now than we were 20,000 years ago. But I think the big thing that has changed is the way we organise our societies, which ultimately is driven by the way we get the energy from the world. And when you are a forager, you know, you live in these tiny little groups, there's no police force, it's nothing like that. And so if you and I fall out having this interview and I get incredibly angry, I always have the option of killing you, you know, coming to New York and just killing you and settling our problem that way. And if I do that in the 21st century AD, I know there's a really good chance I'm going to get arrested, thrown in prison. The state has all its force at its disposal to punish me for what I did. Back in the Stone Age, that just isn't the case. As the societies get more complex, it gets harder and harder for them to function with high rates of violence. So in a, you know, foraging society, you've got a lot more freedom to settle your disputes violently. And you can carry on being hunters and gatherers while there's quite high rates of violence going on around you. But when you start moving toward a farming society, that gets more difficult. You know, you've got crops, you've got your fields, your irrigation systems, your houses, whatever. If every time people fall out, they're running around burning each other's houses down and smashing, you know, cutting down each other's crops, this becomes a problem for the rulers of the society. They're not going to get as much in taxes. They're going to be weaker relative to their neighbours. So they come under pressure to pacify the society they rule. And in modern fossil fuel societies, this is even more true. I mean, you know, you couldn't have Wall Street functioning if everybody's killing each other every few minutes. You couldn't have a big factory making things. Again, if you every time there's a labour dispute, people pull out guns and start shooting each other. So these pressures build up for us not only to develop these institutions which make it harder to go around killing each other, but also that reward people, the pressures reward people who start to say, you know, violence is just wrong. You know, violence is not the morally right way to solve our problems.
So I wonder, Professor Ian Morris, if there's a contradiction or a reinforcement to your ideas in the current state of the world where industrialized democratic societies like ours that are based on fossil fuels shun monarchy, we like capitalism, we like freedom, but we get our fuel, not exclusively, but we get a large amount of our fuel from societies that still value monarchy, that still have kings, that are still oppressive in our view. Does that reinforce what you're saying? They're basically our farmers and we've gone on and industrialized?
Yes, this is fascinating paradox, but it's not a unique paradox. We see things like this happening a lot through history. Before the oil is discovered, Middle Eastern societies are among the most traditional in the world. And of course, what we've seen in the last few years has been these very rapid changes in values in the Middle East, great uprisings against the dictatorships that were set up there after World War II. Of course, you know, nobody knows exactly how the Arab Spring is going to turn out, but this level of violence and rapid change and some very radical Democrats, very, very strong, very conservative backlash against them. This is the sort of thing we see over and over again in the world where societies begin to change really quickly.
Now, let's talk about the future, because the fossil fuel age is close to at an end, whether it's because of global warming and climate change or just depletion of resources. We know that the coal and the oil is limited. It can't last forever, and To the extent we have a future, it's based on solar power and wind power and sources that I guess are much more ubiquitous than just where the oil is underneath Iraq and Saudi Arabia. What does that mean for the future of this society based on your what I call moral Darwinism?
Yeah, I think one of the implications is there's nothing permanent about the way that most of us in the industrialized democratic world think about what values should be. Your values have changed before. The chances are they'll change again. If I'm right that the big driver has been the way we extract energy from the world, which shapes the kind of societies that flourish, which determine what kind of values will do well, then there's a very good chance that we're likely to see enormous changes in values across the next 100 years, as we are, it seems to me at least, as we're now going through another energy revolution. So the big question is then, well, okay, so what are these new values going to look like? And I think the answers, you know, very much depend on where you think the big changes are taking us. And I think one of the biggest things that's going on in the world today is the way we have invented these machines, this technology, particularly computing technology, digital technology, and we've begun to merge with this technology that we've created. And in a sense, we're almost becoming new kinds of animals, like, you know, computer-assisted humans. And it's easy to see one way in which this could lead toward a much more egalitarian, kind of flatter world. You know, people increasingly merge with their machines, the boundaries between people break down. But I think you can also see ways in which it could go in the exactly the opposite direction. And some individuals, some rich people, begin to merge with technology, begin to have, you know, enhanced brains, and the rest of us are becoming increasingly unnecessary to this new kind of human being. And maybe, you know, as happened repeatedly in the past with biological evolution, a small group of people are basically going to replace the rest of us. The world will become more and more unequal. Or then again, maybe something completely different is going to happen. But however it turns out, I think we're living on the cusp of the biggest change in humanity in the last 100,000 years. And I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, I think all of the trends we see suggest that the more egalitarian future is the direction that we're heading in. But I think it's no easier for us to see the future than it would have been for foragers 10,000 years ago to see what the farming world was going to be like.
So maybe an optimistic vision of the brave new world that is ahead of us. The book is Foragers, Farmers, and Fossil Fuels, How Human Values Evolve. The author, Professor Ian Morris of Stanford. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.